This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, a question that I ask myself and I request you to ask yourself is, do we truly believe? Do we truly believe? Truly is the word. Key word is truly. Do we truly believe in Allah, in Rasulullah, in the promises of Allah? Words are a window into our hearts and minds. Words, especially those we utter in unguarded moments, or those we say to ourselves, indicate our real beliefs. Beliefs create attitude. Attitude drives behavior, behavior yields results. That is why words are so important. Words must be monitored, and where they reflect attitudes which are unhelpful, harmful, even toxic, the hearts from which these words emerge must be healed. To do this, especially to catch the disease in its formative stage, it is essential to listen to conversations. To listen is not to obey. Though that's how we use the word listen when we say it. I mean listen, not merely hear. There is a world of difference between the two. Hearing is about sound. Listening is about understanding. It's about making a conscious, thoughtful decision to pay attention, not make assumptions, and clarify any ambiguity. Above all, it means to have an open mind while doing all this, prepared to conclude at the end, not in the middle. Not to try to fit in what we hear into preconceived notions of our own prejudice and stereotypes. It is the failure of parents to listen to their children that results in the generation gap, as well as in what is way more serious, parents being clueless about negative, destructive attitudes, addictions, depression, and other serious psychiatric problems that their children may be afflicted with. As they say, parents are the last to know. That is sad, that is true, and it's totally unnecessary. If only we learn to listen and focus on conversations, let us reflect on what we talk about at home. What is the quality of our conversation? Do we even have conversations? Or is it just transactional, do this, do that? What do our children speak to us about? Do our children speak to us at all? Or do we face silence, sometimes sullen, with their real thoughts, feelings, fears, apprehensions, hopes, and aspirations reserved for strangers? We must differentiate in how we raise children, not blend in, but differentiate. Please read my book, Raising a Muslim Child. We live in a world which is becoming increasingly more complex and complicated, where all our experience seems to have become invalid. How many of you have spoken to your child about your childhood back home, whatever land that refers to, all the hardship, deprivation, and scarcity you faced, expecting to inspire your child to fill his or her heart with respect for your life and your struggle, only to have them say, "So what? Doesn't apply to me here." Maybe they didn't say that to you in so many words, but some have spoken to me about their conversations with their parents, and they said those very words. Of course, their conversation with their parents and what they said to me remains confidential with me, but they are of great concern. The truth is not that they reject you and your life, but that they can't make sense of it. Home is here and now to them. They are already back home. Home is not some place their parents or grandparents came from, and which many of them, given public school education in this country, have never seen, will never see, and can't even find it on a map. Just data, what happened, is at best an interesting story, and at worst, boring. Data converted to a concept, which is called the conceptualizing of data, is a lesson to be learnt and applied. For that, you need to cast your story into their perspective in the 21st century, in COVID America and world. The lessons are there, but you need to decipher them for your children. You need to contextualize the lessons and do it in a way that makes them see how they are useful today. The same applies to Islam and its study. If we want people, including ourselves, to practice Islam, we must decipher and contextualize it so that we can appreciate its applicability, even criticality, in our lives. The same applies to Islam and its study. As I mentioned before, if we want people to practice Islam, we need to decipher and contextualize it so that we can appreciate its applicability, even criticality, in our lives. Otherwise, it will remain in the realm of ritualistic observance without any practical relevance. Islam is the name of a practice, like judo or aikido. It helps only the one who practices it, not the one who only knows about it, no matter how knowledgeable he may be. Let me illustrate with an example. What is an expense? Buying a Tesla Model X, MSRP $80,000, $79,990, you get 10 bucks back. What is an investment? Buying Tesla shares of the same value. Which is the smarter thing to do? An expense is something which has no return, while an investment is an expense that has a return. It is not the amount, but what you spend it on which counts. What makes an investment a good investment? ROI plus surety. Return on the investment plus surety. Compare government bonds to Wall Street or NASDAQ. Compare blue chips to investing in startups, venture capital, or real estate to the share market. You are ready to accept smaller growth if it comes with greater surety, with greater safety. How about an investment that is both insanely profitable and is guaranteed by somebody who controls everything so that there is no doubt about the promised return? Question is, do we believe him? It is really that simple. What is the test of belief? The test of belief is to take risk. Taking risk. You work all month for an organization which only pays you at the end of the month because you believe that the paycheck will come. You have no doubt about that. But just read your appointment letter once again. Tell me if there is a statement there saying, have no fear. No matter what, you will get your paycheck at the end of the month. Is it there? It isn't. But you still believe that it will come. Then why are we so anxious when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ لَهُ وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, truly, my Rabb enlarges the provision for whom He wills of His slaves and also restricts it for Him. And whatsoever you spend of anything in Allah's cause, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it. And He is the best of providers. And then he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. In Surah Zariyat, he said, verily, Allah is the all-provider and the owner of power and the strongest. And then he said, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقُ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ إِنَّا قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطَعًا كَبِيرًا. And do not kill your children for fear of poverty. We provide for them and for you. Surely killing them is a great sin. And he said, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. He said, and if Allah were to enlarge the provision for His slaves, they would surely rebel in the earth. But He sends down by measure as He wills. Verily, He is, with respect to His slaves, the well-aware and the all-seer. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we believe Allah. We believe in Allah, and we believe Allah. Then why do we not understand that when it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides our provision, we cannot get more by disobeying Him? So why do we buy and sell what Allah made haram? Why do we deal in interest upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا صَلَفَ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah said, which means those who eat riba, who eat interest, will not stand on the day of resurrection except like the standing of a person beaten by shaitan, leading him to insanity. That is because they say trading is only like interest, it is only like riba. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted trading and has forbidden riba. So whoever receives an admonition and warning from his Rabb and stops eating riba, stops dealing in interest, that person shall not be punished for the past. His case is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. But whosoever returns to riba, such are the dwellers of the fire, and they will abide therein. How much more clarity do we need that interest is haram? يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah will destroy riba. Allah will destroy all interest and all interest-based dealings and all interest-based businesses. And will give increase for sadaqat, for deeds of charity. And Allah does not like the disbelievers and the sinners. And then Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُءُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Allah said, oh, you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give up what remains due to you from riba. If you have lent out money on interest and somebody owes you, do not take that interest. Give up that interest. Take back only the capital sum. If you are really believers, it's a conditional statement. Do this if you are a believer. So if you do not do this, what does that say? And if you do not do it, then take notice of war from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you repent, you shall have your capital sums. Do not deal unjustly by asking more than the capital sum, and you will not be dealt with unjustly by receiving less. Thawan radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nothing deprives a man of provision but the sin that he commits. And this is in Sunan Ibn Majah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported the famous hadith also in Sunan Ibn Majah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the believer commits sin, a dark spot appears on his heart. If he repents and gives up the sin and seeks forgiveness, his heart will be polished, will be clean. But if the sin increases, which means he comes back to the sin, and the dark spot increases, engulfing the heart. May Allah protect us and our hearts from that. So ask yourself, if you want to believe your bankers and financial analysts who tell you that you must deal in interest to become wealthy, or do you want to believe Rasulullah SAW, who told us that committing sins decreases provision? Do we really believe that Allah is our Raziq? Do we really believe? Let us remember, my brothers and sisters, that on the day of judgment, it is our deeds, our hands and feet which will speak. اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the tongues will be sealed, the hands and feet will speak. What will they say about us? What will they say about our actions, about our decisions? My brothers and sisters, now is the time to ask ourselves these uncomfortable questions so that we can correct our lives. If we don't do this now, then we will face great hardship when we reach our ending. Let us take another example. Let us see how we think about charity. Do we see it as an expense or an investment? An expense, as I said, has no return, while an investment is the opposite. Think of two boxes labeled dunya and the other one labeled akhirah. Two boxes, one labeled dunya and the other one labeled akhirah. What we put in the dunya stays there and we must account for it. What we put in the akhirah goes to the akhirah and we will be rewarded for it. Any sin we do will be in the box called akhirah until we repent. When we do that, it will be replaced with a good deed. Think of charity from this perspective. Is it an expense or an investment? Remember, our deeds will bear witness to our belief. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the ROI on charity, about the return on charity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون. Allah said, whoever brings a good deed shall have 10 likewise to his credit, and whoever brings an evil deed shall have only the recompense of the like thereof, will have only one, and they will not be wronged. And then he said, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah said, the example of those who spend their wealth in the path of Allah is like the example, like the likeness of a grain of corn. It grows 7 years and each year has 100 grains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives manifold increase to those He pleases. That is in addition to this. And Allah is all sufficient for His creatures, for their needs, and He knows all. He is the all-knower. If we truly believe this, what must our year-end balance sheets look like? I used examples related to our financial dealings because that is where there is scope for maximum misguidance as well as maximum benefit. The simplest thing to remember is that the quantum of our sustenance, the sum total of it, risk, is fixed. We have choice over how we want to earn it. On that choice depends whether we have blessing, barakah in it, or whether it will become the source of great grief for us in this world and the akhirah. I ask Allah's protection from that for all of us. What we choose reflects what we believe. Let us choose wisely. As somebody said, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in ways that we cannot imagine and to help us from sources that we cannot imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always keep you in His special protection and care. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. وصلى الله على نبيه الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.